There's a kick. It is up. It is no good. No one missed.
I think we got a heck of a shot of winning. We beat anybody in the world, and I think we're going to win next Sunday.
Eli Manning stays on his feet, airs it out down the field. It is caught by Tyree.
For all you non-believers, disrespect us, talk crap about the defense like we ain't the third best defense in the league.
See you in Pittsburgh.
Can't wait.
Fitzpatrick. End zone. Eric Decker holds it in. The Jets win in overtime.
And the New York Giants, given last rites by many in December, are the Super Bowl champs in February.
This is NFL Friday, going long on all news, reaction, and game picks for the Giants, Jets, and across the NFL on WFUV Sports.
Welcome into NFL Friday, WFUV's best and only NFL podcast. I'm Griffin Stevenson, joined by my co-host Bradley Byrne and my other co-host and producer also today, Luis Andrade. We were just talking before the show started how usually this time in the NFL season, things can kind of get boring, you know, kind of get me to the playoffs, but there's so much parity in the league. We got a lot of competitive games to talk about, a lot of competitive teams. The NFC first seed has 9 wins. The NFC 8 seed has 9 wins. So a lot to uncover, just so much interesting football being played. But first, I'll start with asking you guys how you're doing. Bradley, how are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. Got a little bit of the allergies. It's kind of in that winter season where the allergies start to get really bad. But I'm excited. Thanksgiving break felt really, really quick, though. I can't believe Thanksgiving was already 7 days ago. It felt like it was just yesterday. But I'm excited. You know, finals are... I already have my first final next week. Yeah. So that's going to be stressful.
Yeah, I got final projects due like tomorrow that I got to do.
I got my final on Wednesday next week.
Oh, nice. This is like the worst time. Can we talk about this is the worst time of the year?
It is.
I like Thanksgiving break and I love Christmas break. I think from Christmas, those like that week stretch of Christmas followed through to New Year's Eve is like my favorite time of the year. Yeah. But man, dude, you got to grind to get there. You know,
2 weeks of hell.
Yeah, like seriously. You mentioned Thanksgiving, Bradley. NFL, I will say, sometimes in the past, like, 10 years or so, hasn't had the best Thanksgiving games, but they absolutely loaded the slate, and I believe I saw that all these games, like, the Chiefs-Cowboys game was broke the record for the highest viewed regular season game in NFL history, and the Bengals-Ravens game broke the record for the most viewed night game on Thanksgiving in NFL history, so a lot of people tuned in. We can start, I think, really quickly, we'll touch on the Cowboys a little bit later. We'll talk about their win over the Chiefs when we talk about their game tonight, because this is being recorded on a Thursday. They play the Lions. But starting with the first game of the Turkey Day, and that is the Green Bay Packers. They went to Detroit because, obviously, it's Thanksgiving. Everyone plays in Detroit. And they beat the Detroit Lions 31-24, knocking the Lions out of the playoff picture. Or keeping them out, because I believe they were still out of it last week. Keeping them out of the playoff picture. And then now, jettisoning Green Bay into a position where they're back in contention for the one seed with the Eagles' struggles. And don't forget, everyone, Green Bay Packers, I said it when it happened, that tie on the record is going to, and I think with the Cowboys too, we'll talk about it, the tie on the record is going to have big playoff implications. I think it will help them out against some of these, because the Eagles are 8-4 right now. They're 8-3-1. So, but yeah, talk about this game. I think, man, guys, Dan Campbell saw like he wouldn't be the guy, and then you're like, whoa, maybe he was truly the offensive mind. But then they keep going for it on fourth down, and they just keep not getting it.
It's a really bad habit. You gotta know when it's necessary or when it's like appropriate to do it, because you're putting the game on the line, and it really shows. Like, you could have hit a field goal, then it could have been a tie game. Not a tie game. It would have been way closer, and they would have to go for the touchdown. There's like a lot of implications throughout the game that would have made them in a more comfortable situation instead of having to go on that drive with the last couple minutes on the game. But it's been hurting them. I love Dan Campbell. He's a great coach.
Yeah.
Great personality. But he's been making this. They've lost so many games because let's go on. Let's get crazy, guys. Let's go for it on fourth down.
They're 0-7 in their last seven fourth downs.
I might be the only person in this entire studio that feels that way. I just don't like the way Dan Campbell coaches. I'm sorry, he just plays like it's Madden. And
yeah,
you look back at like all of their playoff losses. If you just go for the field goal on all those fourth downs, they could be arguable that they have a Super Bowl. Because think about it, they were up big against the 40. I believe this was 2 years ago, right? They were up big on the 49ers.
Yep.
They started, getting a little, childish with going for it on fourth down. Like, why are you going for it on fourth and seven in your own, on your own, 40 or whatever? So
I'm a big fan of getting the points, especially early on.
Me too.
However, I will say there are times when I do think you should go for it, and that mainly is if you're a team that's playing a team that you think will cause you problems and is better than you, you might as well try to put the game in your hands. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. But if you're also playing a really, really good defense and you know there's going to be a chance that on your next drive you won't get points, always settle for the points. I know Dan Campbell has said in interviews that the statistics and the percentages or whatever tell us to go for it, so we go for it. But especially, coming down to the end of the season, the Lions are, I believe they're the fifth seed, right? Correct me if I'm wrong.
No, they're the ninth seed right now.
Oh, my gosh. Wow, I have not checked the standings. So the Lions are possibly not even making the playoffs right now. So
yeah, because their division is...
It's insane.
It's crazy how, on paper, they could be the best team in the division, but then you look at the standings and it's just wow.
Put them in any other division and they'll be... I mean, besides the NFC West, I feel like they'd be doing pretty good.
Yeah. So besides the NFC West, we'll get to them in a little bit later. But yeah, I don't know. How do you feel about either of these teams? Because honestly, weirdly to me, I think the Packers and the Lions are these teams that are always good. However, I'm still don't look at either of these teams unless the Packers host a playoff game. I don't like either of these teams as Super Bowl contenders out of the NFC, in my opinion. Only because, listen, as a Seahawks fan, playing at Lambeau in January in a playoff game would be terrifying. That's not where you want to play. However, I don't know. I just still think Matt LaFleur offensively still has plenty. The Lions secondary is not good. The Lions secondary is really not good. And unfortunately, there's two or three other teams in the NFC that have just insane offensive weapons and also on par, if not better, defenses than both of these. Well, definitely better than the Lions, but on par, if not better than the Packers, so it's kind of hard.
I'm definitely going to say right now confidently the Lions will not make the playoffs, not because they're not a good team, but not because they're not good enough, and they're putting we were talking about this before the show, about how the division seeding works and everything, and how we should think it should be based off seeding and not the division, who leads the division.
Yeah.
And I think they're going to lose because of that. They're probably going to finish with I don't even know, they could finish 12-5 for all I know. But I don't see them making it. It's just looking at the standings, it's just not in their favor. Unless somehow Green Bay goes on a crazy losing streak, which is possible because they've been very shaky. And Matt LaFleur on his play calling has been all right at best. That show during their game, it was a Thursday night game against Green Bay.
Yeah.
Where they struggled offensively with a loaded offense. They're missing Kraft as well. I want to. It's just so many different components.
Yeah.
But I can confidently say the Lions are not going to make it. Green Bay is going to sneak in the first seed. I feel the Bears are kind of on a lucky roll, and their luck's going to run out eventually.
Yeah, before we talk about the Bears-Eagles game, really quickly we can cover Bengals-Ravens. I mean, Ravens look bad. Bengals, Joe Burrow return, but they still have a long uphill battle. That division kind of has all to play for because a lot of those teams still have to play each other twice, even though we only have 4 weeks left in the season. So definitely going to be interesting. I just think, regards to AFC contention wise, I don't think either of those two teams are worth noting. I think if they're playing at their peak, could win a playoff game maybe, but I don't know. Neither of them are as good as they have been the past 5 years.
No.
Yeah, I think every team, AFC team in the playoffs right now could either beat any AFC North team and is, I would argue, is better than every AFC North team. If you think about it, we can even go down the list. Obviously, the Patriots and the Broncos are better than the Ravens and the Steelers. I take the Jaguars over the Ravens. I take the Chargers over the Ravens. I take the Colts and the Bills, obviously, over the Ravens. And you can make the argument to take the Texans. If they play good enough.
Well, I think the Texans
will kill the Ravens.
Texans have debatably the best defense in the league.
Exactly. The AFC North used to be like, just last year, they were a really, really good division. And now there's just a team with the 500 record is going to be making it. I do think that the Steelers, because we're talking about the AFC North, I think this is the first year where the 9-8 or the 8-7, whatever it is, streak comes to an end. I think they have a very tough schedule. They have Ravens. I think that's a loss. I think Miami, they win. I think they lose to the Lions. Did they beat the Browns already early in the season?
I think they did.
They always split that series with the Browns. So that could be a loss, and then I think they get swept by the Ravens this season. So
I mean, I don't know. Lamar's been playing really badly, especially against that horrible Bengals defense. Which I'm not sure if it's just him coming. You know, he came back from a long injury. He was out for like six weeks.
He's not the same player that he was pre-injury.
No. I think it's just the injury. He's coming, having a hard time recovering from that. I don't think he could beat the Steelers. Especially like he's showing it. He's not the same guy, you know. Maybe give him the offseason, he'll be back to form. But as of now, I think the Steelers could at least take one. I don't think they're going to get swept.
Yeah. Okay, now we can talk about the big NFC game that got the Bears the one seed. The Bears win 24-15 against the Eagles and in Philadelphia as well on top of that. I mean, talking about the Eagles first, it's because Kevin Petula is a bad offensive coordinator. However, Sirianni said that still he will not relinquish play calling. And so, I don't know. This Eagles team is just like all first team, like bad vibes, in my opinion. Saquon's really regressed from his domination last year.
It's a man curse.
A.J. Brown finally gets his good game, but of course they end up losing. And it's just, I don't know. Ben Johnson right now is my favorite for coach of the year.
He will win it.
Yeah.
He
unfortunately, I as a Seahawks fan, I think Mike McDonald is up there, but Ben Johnson, if he continues in the same vein, the Bears' offense is just so fluid, and it just looked like they mix up the looks and they mix up the run and pass game so well that they're a weirdly surprising team. But I want to get your guys' thoughts. What do you guys think about the Bears still, even though they are the one seed at 9-3?
I think it's a fluke because last year they went 4-2, and they lost out. I think they won one game after that, and then they completely just lost out. Now, they went 4-2 this year, and they've been winning. They're 11-0, or 10-0, 11-0 in one-score games. If the season were to end right now, the Bears would play the winner of 4 or 5, right?
Yeah, they would play the season. Right now, can I just say what right now, if the season ended today, what the Seahawks' look is to the NFC Championship? It would be the Bucks, who have regressed insanely since we lost them early on in the year, also missing our entire secondary. But the Seahawks would play the Bucks, and then they'd play the Bears.
I think the Seahawks could take the one seed.
That's an easy one.
I think that's possible.
Yeah, that'd be the easy. And then you'd have the Niners, the Rams, and the Eagles all playing each other, and then you'd play a team. You'd probably end up playing the Rams, honestly. You play a Rams team that's
exhausted.
And that would be right now, as a Seahawks fan, honestly, I'm fine if the season ended right now.
Because then if you get the one seed, you got to play, you know, you could possibly be playing the 49ers.
I think the Niners are a team that even the Rams right now are slated to play them in the first round. The Niners are a team that the Rams do not want to play.
They're dangerous. Even though they're injured, they lost Nick Bosa, they lost Fred Warner, but they're still dangerous. Like, I'm scared. If I were the Seahawks or if I was the Rams, I would be scared to play them. They're just a very dangerous team.
The Seahawks play them in week 17, the last week of the season, which, by the way, because the Panthers lost or beat the Rams, if the Seahawks and the Niners win out, which I think is a big possibility because the Seahawks have Falcons, that should be a win. Yeah. Colts, Seahawks match up good against the Colts because the Colts offense is looking
falling off.
Also, the Seahawks will, I think, have the best defense in the league. Also, crazy fact about the Seahawks, the Colts' best offensive weapon is Jonathan Taylor, right?
Yeah.
The Seahawks, it's been 23 games since the Seahawks last allowed a running back to run for 100 or more yards in a game.
That would be interesting. I would love to see them match
up. And then the Seahawks play the Rams. However, the Rams are coming off of, I believe the Rams are coming off of a tough game, and then both teams have a short week because it's a Thursday night game in Seattle. And we talked about this a little. I mean, I covered this last time on NFL Friday because I was on after the Seahawks lost to the Rams. Listen, if the fact that the Seahawks only lost by two and had a chance to win, and the Rams got the best punt, most clutch punt ever, and Sam Darnold threw four interceptions, and they only lost by two, is a very good sign, in my opinion. I think the Seahawks split with the and the Rams are going to come off a game against the Lions, so, on a short week. And so I think the Seahawks beat the Rams, and then the Seahawks play the Panthers, who I think they can beat, although the Panthers, you know, they're kind of unpredictable. However, if the Seahawks win out and the Niners win out, which I think could happen, last week of the season in San Francisco would mean that the winner of that game not only wins the division, but gets the one seed, which would be
so. If you're the Seahawks, you intentionally lose that game just to, you know, get
bench
the
everybody.
Favorable
bench everybody.
Dude, but wouldn't that be like amazing for the NFL? Two division rivals in a game for the one seed and the division.
That would be that's you can't make a better script than that.
Yeah, you literally can't. Yeah. I like the Seahawks in that game. I'm not even being biased. Lost to the Niners by like one on one play. Lost them by 3 points. I mean, or by 2 points while they were again set up to kick the. Be able to like win the game with a touchdown. So I don't know. We'll see. Flippy, it's all flip flop. But I think the NFC is wide open. It's kind of scary, honestly. The fact that although the Bears are the one seed at 9-3, the Niners are the 8 seed at 9-4. And if you had to give me a look at the playoff picture right now and say you got to choose one team that won't make the playoffs, I'd choose the Bears.
Me too, 100%.
Yeah, they're not. I mean, Caleb Williams has been amazing. I was one of his biggest haters, but like he's really shown that he can lead a team.
Yeah,
he's
come
to form. He can, you know, throw the football and use his legs to get out of situations. And especially against that Giants game, like I was in awe as a Giants fan, like seeing like the way he could lead that team.
No, they seriously. I mean, they're looking good. I think we'll touch really quickly. Texans Colts, huge divisional game, big AFC playoff implications. Texans continue to look good.
I think they're going to win that game.
Yeah. No, they already won.
They already won. Oh, you're right.
They play
I'm
the
sorry.
Chiefs this week.
And
the Chiefs lost to the Cowboys. And the Chiefs, if they lose their next game, are realistically pretty much eliminated from the playoffs.
I hope so.
And I think the Texans are like the perfect foil for the Chiefs because that Texans secondary is nuts.
It is. And being led by Will Anderson behind the line, like, he's just so good. Like, I saw Daniel Jones. I don't know how I forgot this game because I remember I was sitting with my dad. And my dad's like, the Colts are going to win. You know, their offense has been on fire. I'm like, no, Dad. You have not seen Will Anderson behind that line. He's scary. Like, and Daniel Jones, he has a broken tibia, I believe. Or like
he's not Indiana Jones like he was.
And it's showing. And when you see Will Anderson and all those other guys behind the line, you are scared for your life. And you could see it in his cadence, the way he was standing in the pocket. Yeah. And they're hot now. I think they're definitely going to come out on top of the Chiefs. The Chiefs are not the team that they used to be, their dynasty. I mean, I wouldn't say it's closed yet because you never know what could happen next season.
Yeah.
But it seems like it's dwindling down.
Yeah.
I'm just looking at the age for Travis Kelce first.
He's retiring after the season.
He is. I actually did not know.
He's not. I'm calling it. I don't think he will.
Oh.
But I think he will.
I think
he's been like.
I think the window's closing. I think.
You never know.
I think he's got to settle down. He's got a family. He's getting married soon, you know.
Honestly, like, good for him, though.
Yeah.
You know, these football players need to call it early.
I think the dynasty's coming to an end after this season. I'm sorry to say it.
Hey, they have a good draft. You never know.
That's true.
One thing.
Especially since the NFC is going to be dominating, I think, for the next few years. I think the NFC is definitely more talented than the AFC.
Well, considering the Rams have a top 10 pick next season, and the Seahawks have the second youngest team in the league.
Exactly.
I don't really know how any AFC.
We could go 5 years until we see an AFC team win the Super Bowl.
There's honestly a realistic chance, in my opinion, that, and again, not saying this, I'm biased, that the Seahawks and Rams are the NFC Championship game like 2 out of the next 3 years.
I would love to see that.
I definitely think the Seahawks and Rams both get a Super Bowl. Honestly, the next 3 years, I'm calling it on this episode.
Because they'll be, because again, all it takes is another draft, and the Seahawks just are an interior guard away, realistically. And the Rams, if they can add another defensive, if the Rams can get a corner with their pick, then the Rams, I don't know how.
Yeah.
Although, do you know an interesting thing that I'm thinking might happen, which I don't want to happen as a Seahawks fan? There have been reports that basically if Joe Burrow requests a trade, the Bengals will let him leave because they're better off, realistically. Joe Burrow plays in a division with two of the best individual defensive players in the league, and they need a lot of work. And if Joe Burrow wants to win right now, it's probably not with the Bengals. And if the Bengals want to win at some point, they're probably better off without Burrow. So it kind of sounds like if Burrow wants to go, the Bengals will let him go. And with the Rams having a top 10 pick and Stafford getting old, I would not be surprised that if the Rams traded a couple firsts.
I would love to see that
for Joe Burrow.
That would be. I think as a Seahawks fan, you should be worried if that's.
Yeah. Where else would we go though? Like, I'm trying to think. Like,
apparently, the Jets are trying to load up on picks, but I doubt it. But seriously, God. The Rams are a team that are win now. That also now, because of that horrible trade that the Falcons made, have capital to do that.
They do. Well, also,
If that pick is valuable enough, you could trade that for, you know, maybe not Joe Burrow, because you have to package that pick with other things, but maybe go out and get, like, a Jared Goff, like, you know, like that middle of the pack.
Yeah, do you know
quarterback that.
Would Jared Goff leave them, though?
Do you know what's crazy, though? I realized if the Rams stack up, I forgot my other reason why I think the Seahawks are also going to probably compete still. Because when a head coach in the NFL has a player that he likes, right, and has consistently made trade offers for, usually at some point you're like, they'll get him, right? Especially if your team's a contender. And do you know who that will be next in the offseason? You mark my words, because the Seahawks have made trade offers for him at both the deadline and in the offseason. Can you imagine the Seahawks defense with Max Crosby?
He's
contract after this year, right? Yeah. He could sign with them.
Yeah, although they're going to have to pay JSN a lot of money. But because Darnold's contract is only like $30 million a year, which is way less than most quarterbacks. So the Seahawks do have like the second most, I think they have like the second or third most cap space in the league or something like that. It's not that much, but we have cap space. So like, if the Seahawks get Matt Crosby, I really don't know how someone.
You guys got $16 million worth of cap space.
That's like 1 year, if that, of Max Crosby. How much is Max Crosby on right now?
I don't. You could still. I feel like you know, there's always like those workarounds. I don't know the technicals on that.
Well, we're also keep in mind, we're probably letting Boye Mafe walk. So that's like another $12 million that's done. Probably, honestly, letting Woolen walk, unfortunately, but if that's to make space to sign Max Crosby,
he's on a 3-year, $106.5 million contract with $91 million guaranteed.
One thing, you guys after the season go up to $73 million with the cap space.
There we go.
Then that's literally, and then you release some of those players. Also, if you're trying to win now, realistically,
you need to win.
You
now.
Can take the you. There, you there's also you're right. There's workarounds. Like, you can take What it, in the NFL, is it? It's not luxury tax, but there's like
there's just like so many rules.
There's so many rules, and believe me, we'll find a way to work around it. If
definitely,
because especially if you're like, okay, we don't need anyone else. Like, we're doing that. Imagine a D line of DeMarcus Lawrence, Leonard Williams, Byron Murphy, and Max Crosby.
That's horrifying.
And Jaron Reed.
That's like, but with that
With Ernest Jones, Devin Witherspoon, Julian Love. Dude,
might be a second age of the Legion of Boom.
You know a crazy stat? Statistically, right now, the Seahawks defense is performing better than the Legion of Boom.
Really?
Yep.
Really? Wow.
That sucks, though. They're not getting the recognition for that. And didn't even know that. But
it's also they're so young, that's why.
They also probably don't have, like, as many... like, the thing about the Legion of Boom, they had characters. Like, Chancellor, Richard Sherman. Like, they were, like, pretty, I guess, outgoing. Especially with, like, all their crazy quotes.
Yeah, they were. It's not the same. It's not the same, like...
vibe.
Energy, that's for sure. But... no, the NFC is crazy. All right, we can talk about the Cowboys now. Cowboys play the Lions tonight. The Cowboys have beaten in their last two games the Eagles and the Chiefs, and are now in the hunt for the playoffs. The Cowboys look really good. And what's crazy to me is that if Jerry Jones wasn't their owner, they would have this offense with Micah Parsons and DeMarcus Lawrence on the D-line. And then I think they'd be genuine Super Bowl contenders. But they're not. However, I think they beat the Lions tonight.
I see it happening. They've been
that
hot.
Secondary cannot guard George Pickens and CeeDee Lamb.
George Pickens, right now, this might be a crazy thing to say, but I think he's playing better than CeeDee Lamb. He's been electric.
Yeah, I think he's better.
He has the... it's so good to see, because I was a big fan for him when he was on the Steelers, and I was like, they're not using him correctly. He's barely getting any targets. He's being used as a blocker. And... I'm happy he got out of there, because now you can actually see his potential. He's been doing amazing. He has that dog. He has that fire in him. He gets your guys fired up, not only, you know, with his catches, but also with his personality. And it's kind of the thing what the Cowboys needed. And what did they get him for, like a sixth-round pick, third-round pick?
I think like a fourth or fifth-round pick, something like that.
That was an amazing deal for the Cowboys, and they've done amazing with him.
Do you know what's crazy? So when the Seahawks traded DK to the Steelers, we got a second.
Yeah.
That gave – us the second-round pick, which gave us Nick Anemori, who's, like, second in Defensive Rookie of the Year rankings. And then, because they traded him, they traded away Pickens. The Steelers basically gifted two teams. Like, the Steelers really blew it.
They did
in the offseason. Like,
they did.
It's ridiculous.
Why would you get rid of George and then take DK? You could have kept the two at least. At least keep both of them. That would have been so much better.
Yeah.
But now DK's kind of out there on the island. You can tell, like, I loved him on the Seahawks. You can kind of tell he's not the same anymore. He doesn't have that. I don't know. He just seems off. That's the best I can see. Like, you don't used to see DK on the field on the Seahawks. Like, he would stand out. And now he kind of just blends in with the crowd. He's not as energetic. He's not playing as good. I miss the Seahawks DK a lot.
Yeah. I mean, he never was going to be like that, though, for the Steelers. It's a weird thing. But back to the Cowboys, I think their offense is just – it's a top three offense in the league, in my opinion. And I don't know. I think the Lions have shown that they
the Lions' defense needs to step up here, like, big time.
Yeah.
Aiden Hutchinson, he did not play good against Green Bay last week. I think he barely – like, it was not even – I think – was it a one sack? And it was barely a sack. It was, like, for 1 yard.
Yeah.
He's just – he needs to step up, you know, as the – I guess he's the face of the defense for the Lions, and he's not playing like it, especially last week. And he needs to step up for this, obviously. You got to shut down Javonte Williams, the secondary – I mean, Lions secondary is struggling. So
it's really
– George Pickens and CD are going to have their way with them.
Yeah. I because Terrion Arnold is hurt now too.
Yep. Lions are – like I said earlier, like, I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. Like, their schedule's not looking good for them. I think they're going to lose tonight against the Cowboys.
And then you got to have – then that makes it really hard for the Lions to make the playoffs, and it makes it possible for the Cowboys to make the playoffs because when you think about it, they'll own tiebreakers against most teams.
They would. They would. I don't know about the Cowboys making it too because, like, this would be a massive win for them. But also, you're right, that tie. That tie makes such a difference.
Because they have the tie too.
That tie will definitely – I feel like it's to come back to bite the Lions or other teams that are contending with them, like, come back and bite them.
Do the Cowboys got to play the Eagles again?
I think so. I'm pretty sure. Maybe.
Let's see.
No, they don't. They're done with the Eagles, right?
Oh, they got an easy rest of the schedule after this game.
Commanders, Giants.
Dude, they got Vikings, Chargers, Cowboys. I mean, Vikings, Chargers, Commanders, Giants. I mean, that's a win out.
The only hard game there is the Chargers.
But even then, the Chargers' O-line sucks so bad.
Yeah, they lost.
Or the Giants. The Giants just, like, randomly always win the last game of the year.
Bro, we need
sense.
A tank right now. Yeah. Like,
like, the Giants, like, it's like every year they always win the last game.
So
they always end the season by playing the Eagles or the Cowboys, and they always just find a way to win
that thing. One thing, as a Giants fan, you have no idea how happy I was when I realized it was a bye week. Like, it's just these past couple of games, because they've been so close, and we actually put up fights. Like, we even put a fight against the Lions.
The Giants next year will actually be decent.
We'll be up there. I feel like we're one or two pieces good away, like, one or two good pieces away from being Super Bowl contenders. Like, give us, like, two more decent guys.
I mean, the Giants could have probably the first or second pick this year, so we'll see.
We could, who's going to be in on the draft board today? Like,
I've not
been looking into that yet. It's too early to look.
Because
Jeremiah Smith is still a sophomore, so no, he's not coming out yet.
No, but he's going to declare.
He's going to declare this early?
I think so.
I
know he's eligible.
Jeremiah Malik, oh
no,
my
No, you need
Lord,
the offensive
please.
Line. The offensive line is awful.
I don't want to draft the next Evan Neal, please. I'd rather get, like, someone. I feel like Jeremiah would fit perfectly in the NFL.
I just don't think the Giants need another wide receiver. They need an offensive line first. Or a guy in the secondary.
Secondary, I feel like
secondary's been awful.
The secondary would help out so much with the D-line because we have so many good guys. You have Dexter Lawrence, you have Brian Burns, you have Thibodeau, you have Abdul Carter, and they're, like, struggling. And I feel like it's not because of their lack of skill, but because of, like, the secondary.
It's just a down year for the Giants.
It's just all around. Also, the defensive coordinator, I'm so happy we finally fired him.
Yeah.
Because, like, we have so much talent on defense and on the line and the linebacker. But it's not being used. And then the secondary, it just, like, so many problems.
I really think Joe Schoen should be fired. Should have been fired 4 years ago. Maybe 5 years ago.
He should have been gone a while.
I don't like the way he drafts. And it's just, I think every Giants fan should
Jackson Dart was a hit, but, like, that wasn't, that was luck.
You didn't need to trade up for him, though.
That was a luck. That was complete luck.
Wait, I just saw a Schefter tweet 28 minutes ago. Jalen Carter on the Eagles went underwent a procedure on both of his shoulders. Oof. He's out against the Chargers on Monday night and is going to be week to week. But I don't know how both of your shoulder operations.
What is it like an AC joint?
I don't know, but that's both of your shoulders. And if you're a D tackle, that's like all you do. That's like
yeah, you're pushing with your shoulder. What is he? Hold on.
If you look at Adam Schefter, I think he just put out something about Lamar that he another day he didn't practice this week. So
yeah, I just saw that. What kind of procedure was it? Like surgery? Like yeah,
I don't know. Meanwhile, today was the first day, or yesterday was the first day all season that the Seahawks had nobody miss practice due to injury.
Wow.
Keep in mind, Seahawks have defense has played this good without a literal all pro safety in Julian Love. So
yeah, Seahawks. I rule the NFC. Like, I mean,
Seahawks go in the Super Bowl this year.
They could.
It all depends on Darnold. Although
he has been very, what's it called, inconsistent.
It is crazy. Rams scored all their points against us when they started the ball, like at the our own 30-yard line, and then we still had more offense than any teams ever has put up against them all season.
Are you gonna stick with Sam Darnold?
I think he gets the job. I think he gets
unless you like go all in and like trade your first round pick.
I need to see him in the playoffs.
Last year in Minnesota.
He got sacked 9 times, though. The Seahawks have let him get... The Seahawks have protected him very well, except for against the Vikings. If you're a team playing the Seahawks blitz, just don't allow Sam Darnold to get the ball downfield to JSN.
You got to double cover JSN, though. Yeah. That's the thing.
The Vikings
is he the one offensive
him.
Player of the year?
I feel
like he would. Yeah. He's been too good.
Sorry, who was it?
JSN.
Jonathan Taylor fell off too hard after his... I think JSN wins it.
I do think...
Isn't it based off a conference now? No?
No, I think it's just general.
Offensive player of the year just literally goes to the best non-quarterback.
Am I thinking about rookie?
Yeah.
I'm thinking about rookie.
I think non-conference, though, will be... I think MVP will be Drake May, unfortunately, because they have such a cake schedule, dude.
I mean, but they've been dominating, you know.
Yeah, the Patriots play nobody.
I think they make it to the AFC Championship. And
no, I don't.
Patriots?
I need to see the Patriots.
I think they're playing the Broncos. The Broncos just keep winning close games against bad teams.
Yeah, I don't think Broncos.
I don't want to be that guy's like you know a Giants fan, but
you saw how close the Broncos were to losing. They had so many things to go
Mariota,
right to beat us.
Yeah,
I'm just not sold on the Patriots. I know
I'm not sold on the Broncos. I feel like the Patriots are so much a better team overall than the Broncos. They're being led by Sean Payton, and he's like his devil magic. They're like the new. Chiefs.
I don't like the Colts either, though. That's the thing. I really don't know.
AFC is very shaky.
I think the Titans could do something crazy purely based on their defense because those teams are like, I don't know. The Titans defense against Bo Nix. I like the Titans.
The Titans?
Yeah. The Patriots have had a lot of close games, though. They only beat the Bills by 3, the
you
Saints
beat the
by
Bills,
6.
Though.
They beat this the Falcons by 1, the Bucks by 5. The Bengals by 6.
I think if the Bills can figure it out for the playoffs, is the Bills. I think this is the best opportunity the Bills are going
to
have.
The AFC is wide open. Yeah.
This is the best opportunity the Bills are going to have because you're looking at a potential for all these AFC teams. What they're seeing is like, okay, this is the potential for a Lamar Jackson-less, a Patrick Mahomes-less, and a Joe Burrow-less AFC playoffs.
It is. Like,
and you have to take advantage of that if you're an AFC team.
Like, what are you looking at the playoffs picture right now? Who would be in there right now? Patriots, obviously. Bills. The Ravens are, like, so mid. It's sad. Jaguars or Colts. I think the Colts are going to come up on top with Jonathan Taylor leading them. I don't think Daniel Jones is legit. He's going to fall off after this season. Texans might come back, too, even. They've been playing amazing.
Not Titans. Texans is who I was talking about.
I was confused when you said Titans.
No, I think the Texans, honestly, could beat any team in the AFC.
They could. Their defense wins championships. So
I don't think the Patriots, the Broncos are gonna make the AFC championship.
Are the Chargers in the playoff picture?
Yeah,
barely though.
I'm just not amused by the Patriots or the Broncos.
I think the Patriots are a force to be reckoned with.
I want to see the Patriots and the Broncos play in the play. I want to see them play one playoff game and then I'll. You know.
No, I think the Patriots, the farthest they're gonna make is the AFC championship, and then they're gonna lose. Or if they get lucky, they make the Super Bowl. They're gonna get smacked around because the experience is not there. That's a very young team. Like, who's your veteran? Stephon Diggs? Like, he's not a leader.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I just...
Okay, we can...
Not amused by the Patriots.
Not amused? All right, we can...
No bias.
Looking up next week, we already said we think the Cowboys are going to win. We can just, really quickly before we wrap up the show, predict... Why don't we just do a rapid fire through all the games? Titans-Browns. I say Browns.
Browns, yeah. Shador. He's been doing great.
Seahawks-Falcons. I say Seahawks. I mean,
absolutely. Wow.
Kirk Cousins against... Colts, Jaguars.
Jaguars.
I think Jaguars win that game.
I'll be the one guy that says Colts.
Commanders-Vikings. Commanders, yeah.
Commanders.
Yeah.
That's not like a no. That's like a dead game, though.
Bengals-Bills? I say Bengals.
I don't know. I think Bills.
I think the Bills. The game's
okay, okay. Saints-Bucks. Bucks, I Bucks. Guess. Bucks. Yeah.
Actually, I can see the Saints pulling an upset.
Yeah. Steelers-Ravens. I think Ravens win.
Is it in Pittsburgh?
It's
or
Mason
it...
Rudolph, too, I think.
Is it in Pittsburgh?
No,
or
it's
it...
in... It's in
okay,
yeah.
If it was in Pittsburgh, I'd say
Steelers. Okay, Ravens win that, yeah.
Dolphins-Jets. Dolphins.
I say Jets.
I'll say Jets.
Jets are hot.
I guess. Broncos-Raiders. Broncos.
No, I got to believe in the Raiders, man.
The Broncos will be down by like 10 points in the fourth quarter. And then they'll be down three, and then they'll just, like, make this miraculous.
And then the Raiders are going to, like, lose in the most heartbreaking way ever.
Yeah, exactly. That's
how Rams-Cardinals-Rams.
Yeah.
Rams, for sure.
Yeah, Rams.
Bears-Packers.
I got Packers.
I'm going to say Bears.
I got Packers.
I'm going Packers. I'm just not amused by the Bears.
Okay. Texans-Chiefs. Texans.
Yeah.
Yeah, Texans.
And then Eagles-Chargers.
I think Chargers pull an upset
here. Eagles. I think it's the Eagles.
Chargers pull an upset off here. Actually, no. The O-line's injured and, like... Oh, no. Jalen Carter's out, though.
I'll go Chargers upset just because of the Jalen Carter stuff, you know.
Yeah.
That'll wrap it up for this week's episode of NFL Friday. Had a great time talking about the NFL slate. What's an exciting NFL slate. Going to be insane when the playoffs start. I think all these games are going to be nuts. They're going to be coin tosses, but... It's been me, Griffin Stevenson, joined by Bradley Byrne and Luis Andrade. Thank you guys so much for listening. NFL Friday is a production of WFUV Sports.